Dear Father God, we thank you that you are a good, good Father. We thank you that you are perfect in all of your ways. Father, we thank you for the many ways that you have blessed us, for the things and the stuff that you have given us. And Father, as we give some of that money back, we pray, Father, you will use it for your glory, that great things will happen as a result of our generosity through your Holy Spirit. And Father, now we pray that you would come and meet us in your word. Give us hearts and minds that are ready to learn, ready to be challenged, and ready to be changed. For your glory. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to see you here this morning. And thank you for coming. Not least because if you didn't come, I'd be on my own. But it is great that you're here. And we're delighted as a church family that you have come. I say this all the time, but it is important that when you come to church, you don't just get when you come to church. You bless other people simply by the fact that you're here. So it's really good that you're here with us this morning. We're delighted that you're here. And we have tea and coffee after the service. Every Christian church service anywhere in the world has tea and coffee and biscuits. There's chocolate biscuits, right? Yeah, good. So there's chocolate. So stay with us, hang out with us afterwards and talk with one another and have a tea and a coffee. That'll be great. And if you've got your Bibles with you, you should have your Bibles with you. If you've got them with you, get them out. We're going to be in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. We're going to read them together this morning. If you don't have a Bible, I say this again every week, but if you don't have a Bible, there are Bibles in the foyer. Pick one up, take it home. It's our gift to you. Take that and be blessed by it. John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, and they say this. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Tell me, what is the meaning of your life? Take a moment. Have a little thought about that, but what is the meaning of your life? What's the meaning, the purpose of your life? Come to that when you're thinking and you've got your thinking caps on. Generally, what is the meaning of life generally for everyone? Meaning of your life and the meaning of everyone's life. What's the meaning? What's the purpose? I mean, what is it really all about? I'm on the wrong side of 40. It's a devastating thing. It's been hard to deal with in 2017. I'm blessed, though, this morning because my parents are here. And that reminds me, as hard as it is for me, how much harder is it for them because they have a youngest son who is the wrong side of 40? Much more difficult and challenging for them. And you can commiserate with them later. But the question for the oldest here this morning, right away down to the youngest, is what is the meaning of life? See, because life can be brilliant and amazing and fantastic. And then, boy, oh boy, it can suck. I mean, it can properly suck. So what is it all about? You say, Woodsy, I came to church this morning and I just wanted some late relief. That's what I wanted. Didn't they expect that you were going to ask us deep questions that have troubled humanity from the very start of time? Since the beginning. I mean, a couple of thousand years ago, before Jesus had ever walked the earth, there was some great, or there were, my parents are here, and if I get my grammar wrong, they'll be upset. There were some of the great philosophical thinkers the world has ever known. They were, of course, Greeks. And they spent, believe it or not, a lot of time trying to answer that very question. What is the meaning of life? They were confident, the Greeks, that there was a meaning to life. The answer, they said, was there was a logos to the universe, a concept, a theory. The theory went that if you could just get in line with what the heart of the universe was, life would be brilliant. The word logos is where we get our modern word logic. It's where it comes from. Let me explain it a little bit like this. I've given it to my wife, but I have my mobile phone. I'm very pleased with my new mobile phone. It's a very nice mobile phone. It's Apple, by the way, if I haven't mentioned that before. And it's a wonderful, wonderful phone. When I want to ring someone with the phone, or I want to email somebody or whatever else, it works wonderfully, wonderfully well, right? It is Apple after all. But if I take it out, right, of my pocket and I decide that I'm going to start hammering nails into pieces of wood with my phone, I've seen people do this, but they use their phone as a hammer, it doesn't really go that well. There's a big insurance claim. We have to hope that Apple feel generous. They give us another phone. The bottom line is that we get smashed. Well, said the Greeks, that's a lot like life generally. There is a logic to the world, and if you get in line with it, with the logic of the cosmos, with a purpose, if we use our bodies and minds for the purpose for which they were intended, everything works well. But if you're out of kilter with it, you get all smashed up. But try as they might, these Greeks, they could not agree amongst themselves what the logic actually was. Couldn't agree what the purpose actually was. Was it hedonism? Take everything you want, all the pleasures you can get, stimulate the pleasure center of your brain. You have a pleasure center in your brain, if you didn't know that already. It's why you can't just eat one chocolate. Was it stoicism? Stoicism that said, well, it doesn't matter what happens in life. You know, you just got to get through it. Stiff upper lip. Was it science and reasoning? Aristotle? So the purpose was science and reasoning, bettering yourself through more knowledge. But they argued about what it was. And it's kind of hard to get in line with the logic if you don't know what it is. And try as we might, our culture, which, by the way, is much more like the Greeks than we think it is, our culture can't seem to agree what the purpose of life is either. Is it pleasure? Is it sex? There's certainly people in the world that looks like that's what they think it is. Is it retail therapy? Is it power? Is it money? Grab all you can. Do everything you can before it's too late because there's only one life. Is it fame? Do you know that they did a survey, right? I don't know if this is true of any of the young people. If this is true of any of you, I'm sure it wouldn't be. Surely not. But they went into a primary school and they asked in the primary school, they said, what do you want to be? And these lovely little cherubs in the primary school, they didn't say a doctor or a nurse or a dentist or a lawyer. Perish the thought. What they actually said was, I want to be a YouTube star. I didn't know that was a thing, but apparently it is. They wanted to be in reality TV. Is it family? Is that the meaning of life? And it's great. Family's great for a while. But it never seems to last. You get annoyed with them, don't you? Spend too much time with them. You want to send them away. They can be brilliant, but they can also devastate. And then into the midst of all of that confusion, the Apostle John crashes in with the opening words of his gospel. John simply says, the Logos, the Word, the logic of life. I see, it's not a concept. It's a person. The Logos of the world of creation is a man. In point of fact, since it's Christmas, it's a baby. How crazy does that sound? How crazy does that sound? That the Logos of life would be a baby born to Jewish peasants in a remote Roman outpost. Do you understand how crazy that sounds? And John says, look, this baby, this is the Son of God, and he is God himself. Everything that is created here, everything in earth, is created by this baby. That is what John is saying. It is utterly crazy. Mud and gold and silver and mountains and rivers and wood. And your eye. The incredibleness of your eye. Planets and gas and air and stars. And every single thing you see on planet Earth too. Created by the hands of this child. Isn't that crazy? You know something, hundreds of years before the Greeks and all their philosophy, or even John's declaration about Jesus, there was a man called Isaiah. And he made a promise with these words. You'll know them well. We read them every year at Christmas. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Now, when we read those words, we often feel all nice and warm inside, don't we? It's kind of Christmassy. Hey, Christmas. The light has come. Brilliant. What we don't always see, and we very often don't understand, is that the light came for people who walk in deep darkness. That, by the way, is us. We, humanity, are in deep darkness. When I were a lad, back when I were a boy, I used to go on holiday with my mum and dad. There's lots of, I don't know, it must be just because you're here, mum and dad, that I've dropped in lots of illustrations about my childhood.
But we used to go to a guest house in County Clare, right? And it was a lovely little guest house. You would go there. It was like the perfect holiday, right? And let me explain to you why. Because this has nothing to do with the sermon, but I'm going to explain why it was the perfect holiday. You would go, and your mom and dad, I'm speaking particularly because you'll like this concept, right? Your mom and dad would be in their own room, right? And you would be in a dorm with your mates, right? And you had fun and laughter. It was like being on holiday with your parents, but not on holiday with your parents. And the only time you had to see them was when you ran out of money. And so you would go, you would be able to go and say, Ma, Da, as you say in Northern Ireland, my Ma and my Da, can I have some money? And we used to go, it's a great thing, it was a brilliant thing. And from the guest house, we used to go out and around County Clare, right? And one of the places in County Clare is called the Aylway Caves, right? In County Clare. Some of you may have been there. They're very, very deep caves, and you would go right down deep into the heart of the earth in this cave. And then they would do this thing. They would turn out all the lights. They would turn out all the lights. And it was incredible. I promise you this is true. You could not see a thing. No light could penetrate through the rocks down to that depth. You could hold your hand in front of your face and you couldn't see it. It's incredible. John says that is the type of darkness humanity faces. Tim Keller said this. He said, our culture thinks they're so enlightened. They think that the message of Christmas is that if we all try a bit harder to be nice, if we try to be kind, we'll eventually get there. We'll bring light and love to the world. If only it was Christmas every day. I added that bit. But in fact, the message of Christmas is the exact opposite of that. That we are in darkness and we cannot find a light from within the world. Travel the world. Seriously, young people, go and travel the world. If you were here last night at the Tear Fund concert, this world is a dark world. Don't believe me. Don't take my word for it. Some of the older people know what it is. But don't take my word for it. Go and see it for yourself. Go get on a plane and go and see it. And if anything, the darkness is getting worse, not better. Do you know something? When you're in those caves and they turn out the lights, you know what they say to you? Always remember this. They say, do not move when the lights are out. I thought, why? You turn the lights out. I'll be able to find my way in the dark. It'll be fine. So don't do that. It disorientates you. You don't know where you're going. You think you know where you're going, but you don't. The truth is that we need the light. But not a light from inside the world, but from outside the world. See, the Greeks, they were clever. They did get some things right. If you get in line with the logic of the universe, that is right, then you will have life. Life will make sense. Jesus Christ consistently says, I have come to bring life. That I am the only one who will. There are not multiple logics. There's only one. Life is found in me and in me alone. That is what he said. What he's saying, you see, is that he is the reason for life. I asked you at the start, what is the meaning of life? Well, I think, I hope, most of you would say that the meaning of life is love. When you meet people who are dying, you've maybe never done that. When you meet people who are dying, or who are worried about dying, they never, ever, 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 ever say, "Oh, jings, I wish I'd spent more time in the office." They never, ever, ever say, "Oh, that exam, man, I wish I'd passed that." They never, ever, ever, ever say, "I wish I'd earned more money." What they say is, "I wish I'd loved more. I wish I'd spent more time with the people I love." See, it's hardwired into us that the meaning of life is love. Oh, but here's the thing. The God, the Logos, presented here by John is one God, but three persons. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You say, this has taken a strange twist, Richard. What does the Trinity have to do with any of this? There was a man called Nabil Qureshi. He has very sadly passed away. He was a devoted Muslim evangelist. And he had a long Islamic background. For him, the idea of the Trinity, one God with three persons, was a total blasphemy. There could only be one God. But here's what he realized. And it changed his whole life. If God is only one person, then he depends on creation. He needs to create in order to show love. Can't show love unless you get somebody to show love to, right? You've got to have somebody to show love to. You've got to create in order to be loving. That means that power comes first, then love. Power to create and then love. That at the core is power, but that's not what John says. John says that before creation, before there was anything, the eternal God was in a perfectly loving relationship. Father with Son, with Holy Spirit, loving one another perfectly. Means that he didn't need anything. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit didn't need anything. They were perfectly loving. And do you know what that means? It means that love is at the very heart of the cosmos. This time last year, we wrote a video for Wintertainment. One of the lines in that was, "We all long to be loved." That's what we want. We all long to be loved. Truly loved. Loved for who we really are. But we are completely incapable of loving anyone else like that. Always with a condition. But bursting onto the dark pages of history, the eternal God says, I am love. I am love. Why did he create us if he didn't need us? Because he wants us. Because he wants us. He wants us to be invited into that perfect relationship of love. And when you get that, and you understand it, that he loves you for who you are, that he created you, that he knows you, that he loves you, that he wants to invite you into that loving relationship, changes everything. And that is the message of Christmas. And it's the true meaning of life. I hope this morning, that that penetrates your hearts. Let's pray. Dear Father God, we cannot comprehend the depth and the height of the love that you have for us. A love that is undeserved from a people who are in total and deep darkness. But Father God, we pray through your Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that your Spirit would move, that your light would penetrate the darkness, that your light would break into our hearts, a light that can never, ever be extinguished. Come now, Holy Spirit, we pray, for your glory. Amen.